Talk 94.9 WSJM. You're listening to Our Take. Thanks for tuning in to this Friday edition of the show. We've made it through another week, or we almost have. I am the host today. My name is Andrew Green. Glad to be with you. This is the show where we have longer conversations about things that you may have heard about recently on WSJM News. If we've talked about it on our news coverage, you'll hear about it on Our Take, but in a more extended fashion. We have longer, more full conversations with folks who are in the know or making things happen here in Michigan's Great Southwest. Coming up on today's program, we will talk about a meeting that took place last night regarding Benton Harbor area schools. The school district reaching out to parents and others in the community asking for some help to deal with discipline problems involving a small number of students at the school, but they see a problem and they want some, they're seeking help to try to address the issue. So at this meeting, I went there and heard from parents and others. They talked about it last night at a church on Union Street here in Benton Township. There will be more discussions at next Tuesday's school board meeting. We'll, on today's show, hear briefly from the superintendent of Benton Harbor Area Schools, as well as the school board president. We'll also chat with the National Federation of Independent Business today. They are a group that represents small businesses around the country. They tend to be sort of a conservative group, but I chatted with them about the tax climate here in Michigan and in the United States. We'll find out what they think recent tax changes mean for business. We'll also chat with AAA because this Sunday is the big game. Am I allowed to say the name of it? I don't know if I'm allowed to say the name of the big game, so I'll call it the Superb Owl. The Superb Owl is this Sunday. AAA wants everyone to make sure that they take safety precautions for the big game. And then we'll talk to St. Joe today about the Magical Ice Fest, which is this weekend in downtown St. Joe. We'll close out the show today with a brief discussion of new movies that are out at the box office. Normally, our man in the dark, Jacob Holmes, our blockbuster expert, comes in here to take part in that conversation with me, but he's on vacation, so I'll fill you in on what the winners are this weekend at the box office. And if you'd like to weigh in on something that we discussed, just send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E at wsjm.com. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Stick around. We'll be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Thanks for tuning in to this Friday edition of the program. I hope you have a wonderful weekend ahead of yourself. There's plenty to do this weekend. You know, you could go to downtown St. Joe where they're having the Magical Ice Fest for the 14th year. And later on today's program, we will chat with St. Joseph today about some of the things they have going on in downtown St. Joe. Right now, I thought I'd tell you about a meeting which took place last night in Benton Harbor. It was called this week by the school district and a local church. And the church is McCoy's Memorial Church of God in Christ. It's on Union Avenue, right by the radio station, Union Street, I should say. And it's across from the auto dealership, sort of. Packed house last night. People, parents, individuals in the community of Benton Harbor got together to talk about discipline and safety issues at the schools. The school district has grown concerned with some incidents involving fights at the high school recently. Specifically, there was one on Monday that the superintendent is trying to investigate. Anyway, the school district reached out to McCoy's Memorial Church of God in Christ so they could organize a town hall last night for everyone to get together and talk about ways that they could help make the schools safer and get a better handle on some students' behavior, because a small percentage of the students are sort of behavioral problems, and the school district has noticed this is interfering with the education of the other kids. So, large group of people gathered last night at this church, and speaking to the crowd was Benton Harbor Area School Superintendent Shelley Walker. She described the problems that they've been having and how she wants parents to come together, form advisory groups, and she laid out some of the possible solutions that she has identified. For example, she wants to create safe zones within the schools. She also wants to offer off-site alternative programming for sort of the problem kids. and also do more to listen to the students. She wants kids to come forward with information. She told me there was a recent fight. It was Monday at the high school. Five students have been identified as having been involved, but she thinks there were more, and she wants to find out who they are, but no one's talking. So she made an appeal for anyone who knows anything to come forward and speak to her. And so there was lots to say last night. A lot of people had some thoughts on what they believe the issues are with the schools. I caught up with Superintendent Shelley Walker after the meeting just to ask her what she wants to tell area parents.
About tonight?
Yeah, what do you want everyone to know?
I want everyone to know that as a community, we have some wonderful students who can do some wonderful things. And we have to bring all our wonderful knowledge and experiences together to figure out how we can support them different than how we have in the past, because we have too many students who still haven't come to understand or find their connection to learning. We have issues, as this was pointed out, we have a lot of subs, we do. You know, we have a lot of opportunities in the school district to improve. We absolutely do. That's been the case for years, well before I came. But we don't have to stay there. And we have to recognize that it's going to take us time to rebuild, but we have to do it together. If we're arguing or bickering or pointing fingers, we're telling our children that's how we solve conflict. We have to model for them what we want them to do, and that is to speak your truth always, but also recognize other people's opinions and perspectives may not look like yours, but why does it have to be a right or a wrong? Why can't it be that we just have a difference, and so now that we know that we have a difference, let's look at what we have in common, and then work from there. And the good news is what's very clearly in common are trying to improve things for kids. And that's a big incentive. And so just asking parents to come join this effort to help us help understand what our children in this community need, because they are a very important part. And the children are modeling after them as well.
Okay, sorry about the background noise there, but there was a crowded meeting. That was Benton Harbor Area School Superintendent Shelley Walker talking with us about how she wants everyone to come together to address these disciplinary issues. It's a small number of kids, but enough to cause a disruption for the rest of the kids. I also caught up with Benton Harbor Area Schools School Board President Marletta Seitz after the meeting and asked her the same question. What message are you trying to get out to parents?
The board is very supportive of them and the students and this district surviving. And we are going to initiate some safety initiatives, and we're putting together a citizens advisory group on Tuesday. And so that will include students, parents. We have other individuals that are volunteering. They will advise the board on what they want to see. And it's been in the policy, but this will be the first time that it's been implemented. So some of the parents, students, we look forward to you giving us advice so that we can, as policymakers, do what's expected of us.
That's Tuesday's board meeting?
Tuesday's board meeting.
Is this all in response to the incident that happened that Dr. Walker was referencing? Or is this just like?
I believe it is in response, but I don't believe, again, we should wait. And this is more of a reaction, and I believe that we should respond every time there's a concern and not wait till there's an event.
Okay, that was Benton Harbor School Board President Marletta Seitz at that meeting last night talking about student discipline and safety. Tuesday's school board meeting next week. There will be more discussions. I'll be there for that. And she's hoping to put together a parent advisory council, a citizens advisory council, I should say, and they're hoping to address this issue before it becomes a bigger problem at Benton Harbor Area Schools. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You're listening to Our Take, and right now I thought we'd check in with the National Federation of Independent Business. They are a group that represents small businesses around the country. I caught up with them recently to ask what they think of the tax climate in Michigan right now. This was right after Governor Rick Snyder's State of the State. I chatted with Director of the Michigan Chapter, Charlie Owens. Let's hear that conversation now. When you heard what the governor talked about from the perspective of the NFIB, what are some of the things that stood out to you as significant?
Well, first of all, we were very encouraged. This is a small thing, but it really means a lot to small business. When he was talking about all of the jobs, the new jobs that have been created in Michigan since he took office, but he took the time to stop and say, that government doesn't create jobs. They can only create the environment in which businesses can add and create jobs. And we just find that very refreshing to hear that, because, you know, nothing grinds a small business owner the wrong way than you know, a government official or a politician or a bureaucrat saying, we created this many jobs. The government doesn't create jobs other than government jobs. The only thing they can do is set the stage, create a great environment, and step aside. It's business that creates jobs.
All right. So when you listen to the governor's state of the state, what did you think of the priorities that he laid out?
We're very encouraged about, he called it a Marshall Plan for closing the skills gap. One of the things that our members are struggling with as small business owners is finding qualified workers with the necessary skills. It's a real problem. So we're very encouraged by that.
So from the National Federation for Independent Business, what sorts of positions do you think we need more training in?
Well, yes. You know, it's like we have home builders that are building houses, and they need carpenters. They need electricians. We have folks in IT. They need folks that can do coding, that can do programming. And, of course, you could go to almost any other area, such as medical. You know, they need folks with those kinds of skills as well. There's just a dearth of skilled workers. And, I mean, it's a bad thing, but it's a good thing in that we've got all these jobs. We just don't have folks to fill them that are qualified. So if we can do that, then we're going to fill those jobs. And these are good-paying jobs as well.
All right, and so when you look at the governor's priorities for the year, is there any areas in which you part ways from him?
Well, we do part company with the governor on the issue of the prevailing wage law, which, as you know, there was a ballot initiative, and it's likely that the legislature will have that put in front of them probably in February. It's going through the process of being vetted by the Secretary of State and the Board of Canvassers and those things. And in the past, he's indicated he would veto a bill to repeal the prevailing wage law. But by doing it via the initiative process, it doesn't require the governor's signature, so it can actually be done without the governor. So the prevailing wage law, for folks that don't know it, it's a Michigan law that requires that if there's a construction project using state tax dollars, that all of the wages paid on that job are union scale wages, whether or not the contractors have union members or not. It drives up the cost of those for taxpayers because they're footing the bill for the construction, and it discourages small business and other contractors from bidding on these projects.
All right, and then there's tax reform. I know there seems to be a bit of a disagreement brewing between some state lawmakers and the governor, specifically on what to do about taxes here in Michigan. Do you have a position there?
Well, you know, we've got a very great controversy, because what we have is the governor's office, the Senate, and the House fighting over how much of a tax cut the taxpayers are going to get. And, you know, if you go back 8 years ago when he first came to office, we didn't have the luxury of those kinds of arguments. So, yeah, the governor wants to make everyone whole from the federal tax reforms because of the elimination of the personal exemption. If we don't act, it'll actually be an increase in taxes for Michigan residents on their state taxes. So the governor's committed to making sure that that doesn't happen. And then you have the Senate. That not only wants to restore the personal exemption, but kick it up to $5,000 from the current, I think it's like $4,100. I could be wrong on that. And then the House wants to make it $4,800, and I think the governor wants it to be $4,500. So everyone wants to increase it. They're just kind of having a friendly argument over how much it should be. I think that's a great problem to have in the state of Michigan right now.
All right. Now, from the National Federation of Independent Business, when you look back, you know, this was the governor's final state of the state. He's in his final year in office. When you look at his administration, would you say it's been successful?
You're never going to make everyone happy. But let me just say this. Mm-hmm. 8 years ago, Michigan was a laughingstock. I mean, we led the nation in just about every misery index that was out there. We had the highest unemployment. We had the most mortgage foreclosures. We had outbound migration, people leaving the state. We were the only state that lost population in the last census. So we were at the bottom of the barrel. And when you look at that and you look at where we are today, I mean, it's nothing less than astounding. And it wasn't luck. He laid out a bold plan, and he stuck to it, and he had a legislature that was there. Didn't always agree with him, but for the most part, they helped with the heavy lifting. And we're in a good place right now. And you look around at states like Illinois and New York and some of these other states that, you know, never changed the way they approached governance, and they're in deep trouble now. And we're not. We're, you know, with the... With the economy firing on all cylinders, federal or national and state, I think we're poised for a banner year.
We've been talking with the National Federation of Independent Businesses, Charlie Owens. Anything else you'd like to add about the Snyder administration or just the current state of the economy?
Just we're looking forward to small businesses seeing a bright future. We're very optimistic. The only thing we need is to get some of those skills up there so we can fill these jobs. And that's again, that's just a great problem to have.
All right, that was Charlie Owens, director of the Michigan chapter of the National Federation of Independent Business. I talked with him right after Governor Rick Snyder's final State of the State address and got his thoughts on how Michigan's economy, the tax climate, and, the entire business climate have changed for small businesses under the Snyder administration. And he gives the Snyder administration overall positive marks. News Talk 94.9 WSJM, this is Our Take, and right now it's time for a break. When we come back, we will talk with AAA. We're going to find out what they're making an appeal, a sort of safety appeal to everyone, because this weekend is a big event. There's a large sporting event. The big match is on Sunday, and I'm talking about the Superb Owl taking place Sunday night. AAA wants everyone to make sure they drive carefully. We'll chat with AAA about that. And if you'd like to weigh in on something we've discussed, send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E @wsjm.com. Right now it's time for a break. Stick around. We'll be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Thanks for tuning in. It's Friday here. So we got that going for us. I hope you have a wonderful weekend ahead of yourself. There's certainly plenty to do. Don't forget the Magical Ice Fest is this weekend downtown. Go to downtown St. Joe. There's no shortage of things to do there. We'll find out more about that coming up later on today's show with St. Joseph Today. Right now, I thought we'd check in with AAA because there is a big sports match taking place on Sunday. Maybe you've heard of it. It is the big game. Am I allowed to say the real name of it? I'm not sure what the rules are for that. So it's the Superb Owl. It's taking place on Sunday. And, of course, it's, Philadelphia versus New England. I'm rooting for Philadelphia because I am a fan of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And to me, that's as good of a reason as any to back any team. So go Philadelphia. But right now, I thought we'd chat with AAA's Gary Bubar. He sent out a notice this week asking everyone to remember to be safe this weekend. They don't want people drunk driving. So let's check in with AAA's Gary Bubar and hear more about their recommendations. All right, Gary, so Super Bowl Sunday, is it typically a big day for drunk driving? Is this one of the bigger problem sort of holidays?
Well, it can be, and there's perhaps a little less of it because it is on a Sunday, and many people do have to go back to work on Monday. But the part of the issue is that things tend to start earlier in the day because the game doesn't start until 6 or 6:30. There's lots of pregame activities, and a lot of folks start their parties, whether they're at a tavern or a restaurant or if they're at somebody's house or your own house. They tend to start a little earlier in the day. Mm-hmm. That means sometimes the indulgence begins a little bit earlier than normal.
All right, so it is sort of a risk day there in that front. So what is it that AAA is trying to get out to everybody?
Well, if you are attending a party or if you're going out to watch the game, recognize that any time that you that you drink, you're going to be changing your ability to drive. And limit what you do. In terms of hosting a party, there are lots of things that you can do that can take the place of alcoholic drinks. If you offer non-alcoholic drinks, a lot of food that is the stuff we love to eat that's very starchy and heavy, and that kind of replaces some of the alcohol. Don't force drinks on folks. They'll have enough on their own. And keep an eye on your guests, because they are your guests. And so make sure that they've not had too much to drink. If they have, there are a couple things you can do. You can keep them at your house if you want. Call Uber or Lyft or someplace where they can get a ride home. Or you can take advantage of AAA's tow-to-go service. If they are a AAA member, they can have their vehicle towed and get a ride home, and no questions.
And I know that you can also take a pledge online here.
Yes, that you won't drink and drive during the Super Bowl season. And that's true of any weekend, but this weekend in particular. In a social setting, you might tend to do that a little bit more than you otherwise would. Just be certain that you have a designated driver if you are going to be drinking and going as a group. That's always a good policy.
All right. Does AAA have any advice for people just to enjoy the game activities and not even face the temptation of having any alcohol?
Well, we urge drivers and partygoers and party givers to take personal responsibility for what you are doing. If you're going to be drinking, make sure that you limit the amount that you drink. And toward the end of the game, if you're hosting a party, put out some more pizza and some more, you know, starchy, heavy foods, and slowly start to replace the alcoholic drinks that you have with coffee or tea or something that's non-alcoholic. What we found is that the coffee really doesn't do much for someone who's had too much to drink, but it can replace something, that they might otherwise take.
When we look at the biggest drunk driving days of the year, do we know where the Super Bowl ranks compared to the other big ones, like, say, the 4th of July?
Well, compared to the summer holidays, it's a little bit different kind of a holiday. This is kind of a one-day thing.
Mm-hmm.
We know it doesn't quite rank up there yet with days like St. Patrick's Day, Cinco de Mayo, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. It doesn't fall into that category. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that people recognize that they're not going to be able to work the next day if they have too much to drink on a Sunday evening. So we may see a little bit less of that. But still, if you're going out, make sure that you've taken those precautions. If you're going as a group, have a designated driver. If you're hosting a party, make sure that you have arrangements for drivers who may have had too much to get home, or keep them at your house for a little while longer. There is some responsibility as a party giver, not just, I guess, ethically, but also legally, if you send somebody out on the road after having too much to drink at your house.
Right, that's right. You're also to blame if you allow someone to get behind the wheel of a vehicle when you know they shouldn't.
And it's the same thing that a lot of restaurant owners and tavern owners see. If they overserve someone, they have a responsibility for that should that driver go out and hurt somebody or hurt themselves.
We've been talking with Gary Bubar from AAA as the organization asks everyone to drive responsibly this weekend. Anything else you'd like to add, Gary?
It's just a time of caution. Be aware that around the time that the game ends, and you know that's usually 11 midnight, something in that range, there's going to be drivers out there who may have had too much to drink. So make sure that you take all the precautions necessary. And if there is someone who's driving erratically, no matter whether it's Super Bowl Sunday or any other time, you can always call 911 and help get that driver off the road before they hurt themselves or someone else.
All right, that was AAA's Gary Bubar talking about Super Bowl Sunday, if I'm allowed to say that, Superb Owl Sunday. They're just asking people, they're making an appeal, don't drink and drive. Arrange to have a ride if you're going to a Super Bowl party. If you are holding a Super Bowl party, you got to cut off your guests when you see they've had too much. Or if they have had too much, don't let them drive. There are a million different ways you can help someone get home. Or you could just let them stay the night at your place. Remember, drive responsibly this Sunday. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You're listening to Our Take. Right now, I thought I'd tell you about something that happened in the state legislature yesterday. So the Michigan Senate Transportation Committee heard some testimony yesterday on a bill that would regulate drones on Mackinac Island. I was not aware that drones were a problem on Mackinac Island, but if you think about it, it makes sense. Here's Republican State Senator Wayne Schmidt of Traverse City telling us more.
Horses are spooked by these UASs or drones. It's and as we know, Mackinac Island is a bit of a unique place.
Indeed it is. So lawmakers in Lansing talking about giving the city of Mackinac Island the reins to regulate the drones on the island itself.
The key issue here is not so much that horses get spooked, but that when horses get spooked, they run away. And when they run away with passengers, bad things happen, even death.
That could be interesting. Dennis Cawthorn, the former longtime chair of the Mackinac Island State Park Commission, said he hopes this legislation will be passed before the next summer season. You see drones all over the place now. Everyone's flying a drone. Michigan Senate considering letting the island regulate those drones itself. The city of Mackinac Island, as well as Mackinac Island Tourism Bureau and the Michigan Department of Transportation, all support the bill that would allow them to regulate that technology on the island so that they can avoid people spooking the horses. That's one of the things discussed this week in Lansing. Also, there was some testimony taken this week regarding a bill co-sponsored by State Senator John Prose. He welcomed some FIRST Robotics kids up to Lansing this week to testify about this plan that would increase the vision screening requirements for kids in schools. Members of the CW Tech Robotarians, which is a FIRST Robotics team that includes kids from Coloma, Watervliet, and Lake Michigan Catholic, among others, they went up there with State Senator Prose and talked about this plan. What this bill would do, it would require a comprehensive eye and vision exam for a child who fails their already required grade school vision screening. Prose co-sponsored the measure. He says catching and treating vision problems in kids early can help improve their academic performance and overall well-being later in life. And these FIRST Robotics students who went up there to testify talked about a robotics teammate who was diagnosed with an eye disorder that makes it difficult to read, and this particular disorder not really caught by those early vision screenings. So that's what Senator Prose was up to this week, trying to increase requirements for schools when it comes to screening the vision of children. And also in the Senate this week, they talked about regulating drones on Mackinac Island. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. It's time now for a break. When we come back, we'll learn about the Magical Ice Fest, which is this weekend in St. Joe. We'll talk with St. Joseph today, next segment of the show, and then I'll give you a little rundown of some of the movies that are out this weekend at the box office, if you are so inclined to go. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Stick around. We'll be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You're listening to Our Take, Friday edition of the show. We're just about done. We're about to get out of here for the weekend, and I hope you have a wonderful weekend ahead of you. There are certainly plenty of things to do in downtown St. Joe, and to close out today's show, I thought we'd learn about them. The Magical Ice Festival is this weekend. It actually starts in just a little while here in downtown St. Joseph. It's the 14th annual Magical Ice Festival. I talked with St. Joseph today's Daniel Crevier about all the things going on. So let's check in with Danielle and learn about some of the fun to be had in downtown St. Joseph this weekend. Okay, Danielle, it's the 14th annual Magical Ice Festival in downtown St. Joe. Tell us a little bit more about some of the things that are going to be happening there starting tonight.
It does. Yep, we've got the individual competition, which runs from 5:30 to 7:30. So that's where the carvers just kind of set up shop along Pleasant Street, and they'll do their own little individual competition. And then immediately following at 7:30, we have the Fire and Ice Tower, which is always a huge crowd pleaser.
Great. So explain to us what the Fire and Ice Tower is.
Yeah, so it's literally a giant tower of ice that we set on fire. So it's a bonfire in the middle of State and Pleasant, which is pretty fun to see. You don't get to see that every day.
Yeah. So everyone gathers around this giant ice tower that they set on fire right there. And there'll be ice sculptors in town all weekend.
We've got four teams of two. So we've got different carvers that'll be doing their team competition on Saturday and then their individual competition on Friday. Right after their competition, yep, the Fire and Ice Tower happens, and then they just kind of compete all weekend. There's also Ice Wars where they go up against each other on Saturday. So it's just a lot of different locations for them to kind of showcase their talent, which is great.
So where do these carvers come from?
We've got some from Ohio, and we've got a local guy from Niles, kind of all over the place. So we've had some from New York before and Texas, yeah.
So it must be, it's kind of an impressive sight to walk around downtown and see some of the things they create.
It is, yeah. So most of the all the sponsored pieces, like the blocks and the snowbiz pieces, are going to be carved beforehand. They're actually getting trucked in, so they'll be here early on Friday, and then they create all the individual competition pieces and the team competitions and the Ice Wars pieces. So those are all pieces that you can see being created right in front of your face. So it's really neat to see. You know, maybe you walk around downtown, you see just a block of ice, and then you come back an hour later and see what it's, you know, turning into.
Great. So now, in terms of the other events going on, there's all kinds of stuff besides the ice carving, right?
There is. There's tons of interactive things that we've got going on. So Friday night, right after the Fire and Ice Tower, there's actually going to be the Fire and Ice Party at the Shadowland Ballroom. So that's for ages 18 and up. It's $10, but they've got like a cash bar. They've got a tropical martini luge, which is a lot of fun. And then they've got some live music and fire performers. So that's a fun twist on Fire and Ice. Mm-hmm. Then continuing on Saturday, it starts as early as 9 in the morning. We've got the Ice Fest 5K. So online registration, I believe, is closed right now, but you can actually come in the Welcome Center that morning and register and just participate in this really fun 5K that's right downtown. Mm-hmm. So that's unique. Then, of course, we've got like the Snowbiz Scavenger Hunt that works all weekend. You come in the Welcome Center, get a map, and then you get to go around downtown and kind of see what items are frozen in different sculptures. And you can possibly win a St. Jude Day gift certificate.
Okay.
And then we've got the Frozen Fish Toss, which is on Saturday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. So that's going to be right outside the Welcome Center. So it's three tosses for $1, and it's we've got like a ice-carved cornhole board that you toss frozen fish into. So that's kind of fun, too. And then, of course, we've got like the Magical Tour that runs on Saturday from noon to 4 at three different locations in the downtown area, and then Silver Beach Carousel and the Shadowland Ballroom participate in the Waikiki weekend. So there's lots of tropical fun. You can go warm up down there as well.
All right, so that's plenty Friday and Saturday. And Sunday, there's some activities taking place as well?
On Sunday, it's just mostly a viewing day. So by then, you can still still complete your Snowbiz Scavenger Hunt. We don't have any carving on Sunday, but it's an all-day viewing. The roads will still be closed. And it looks like it's going to be pretty chilly on Sunday, too. So it'll be a great day to view those pieces. So you know, normally when they're kind of getting melty, they'll be strong and staying still.
Right. I was going to say the weather this weekend looks like it'll be just about perfect for Ice Fest, because if it was warm enough out there, that wouldn't be the best thing for some of the ice sculptures.
Yeah, sometimes they just don't last as long, you know, but in past years, you know, by Monday, Tuesday, sometimes the city has to clean them up a little bit, but this year it looks really like the cooler temperatures are going to hold, so we're really excited for that. Might be a little bit of snow that's happening too, so that always makes it fun and magical as well.
Now, the Ice Fest in St. Joe attracts a large crowd down to St. Joe. Do you know exactly, or at least have an estimate regarding how many people come down there?
It's really hard, I'm going to be honest with you, just because it's kind of like similar to Chalk the Block, where there's just people that are coming, you know, it's consistent, like people are just consistently coming in. We would say, you know, for Chalk the Block, it's, you know, thousands.
Okay.
I would say definitely in the higher, you know, like a couple thousand, maybe for Ice Fest.
All right, it'll be in the thousands, though. And the St. Joe Welcome Center sounds like the place to go for pretty much any information you might need.
Yeah, we've got all the schedules going on for this weekend, so stop by. We'll guide you, you know, we'll give you your magical Ice Fest guide. We've also got the Inn at Harbor Shores. It's going to be handing out some hot chocolate samples on Friday and Saturday, as well as we'll have Zoop and the livery in on Saturday as well.
Great. Well, yeah. It's one of the biggest winter events.
It is. Yeah, we're just really excited, you know, given some, you know, visitors, you know, a reason to come back in the winter, and then also residents a reason to come out and, you know, enjoy the downtown and, you know, just kind of celebrate everything that's winter in Southwest Michigan.
Okay, that was Daniel Crevier with St. Joe Today talking with us about the Magical Ice Festival, which is this weekend in downtown St. Joe. The fire and ice display when they set fire to a giant ice sculpture will be tonight at 7:30. So mark your calendar, bundle up and go down there and take in some of the action at the St. Joseph Magical Ice Fest. Go to stjoetoday.com for a schedule, and you could also stop by the St. Joe Welcome Center downtown where they have all the info you need. News Talk 94.9 WSJM, that just about does it for today's edition of Our Take. I have one last thing to do because this is Friday. Every Friday we end the show with a discussion of your options at the cinema. Now, normally Jacob Holmes comes in here to talk about that with me, but he's on vacation, so I'm the only one here. So I'll tell you what your options are at Celebration Cinema in Benton Harbor for this weekend. Now, new to our local theater are a couple of films. First of all, there's the big one, and that big one is three billboards outside of Ebbing, Missouri. It's now playing here in Benton Harbor, finally. Nominated for Best Picture at the Academy Awards this year. I suppose that's the one that I would be rooting for. I saw this movie already, and it's a fantastic film. It's about Frances McDormand plays the mother of a teenage girl who gets, this teenage girl gets raped and murdered. And about 8 months goes by, and there's been no arrest in the case. So Frances McDormand gets upset and rents out three billboards just outside of her town, calling out the local police chief for not making any arrests. The police chief is played by Woody Harrelson. Now, when I went into this movie, I was expecting it'd be an issue of maybe the police chief was apathetic or something, you know, for some reason they weren't taking the case seriously. No, that's actually not the situation in this film. Police Chief Woody Harrelson has been taking the case seriously, and he has been trying to solve it. He just can't. So that's where some of the sort of nuance in this movie comes from. Frances McDormand, you completely understand why she's upset, but at the same time, she's being somewhat unreasonable here. And this film features several characters who aren't very good people, and there are some genuine arcs with some of them in the film. Sam Rockwell is excellent in the film. Woody Harrelson is excellent. Frances McDormand is excellent. And Peter Dinklage is in it, and he's great too. So I would recommend seeing Three Billboards outside of Ebbing, Missouri this weekend if you're going to the cinema. Also new this weekend here in Benton Harbor, we've got Winchester, the house that ghosts built. And this is a PG-13 horror film with several jump scares. So that's all I can tell you. It's a haunted house movie featuring jump scares. For some reason, Helen Mirren is in it, so that makes it noteworthy. I would avoid that one, though, and check out Three Billboards outside of Ebbing, Missouri. It's a strong contender to be the best picture of the year. That's what I would vote for. And we've got a couple of other Oscar movies still playing here. The Shape of Water is still playing. That's a good film. A romantic tale, a sort of darkly poetic movie. I'd recommend that. The Post is still playing. I saw that Sunday night. It's all right. It's a Spielberg movie starring Tom Hanks and Meryl Streep, so obviously it's going to be good. I don't believe it should have been nominated for Best Picture, but that's just me. Lady Bird has a showtime this weekend. That's one of the best films of the year. I would recommend checking that one out. Jumanji is still out. I'm sure that's good. Oh, and I, Tonya is available. I was blown away by this movie. I recommend it. Margot Robbie is fantastic as Tonya Harding. So, yes, you have several good options at Celebration Cinema in Benton Harbor this weekend. Check out several Oscar-nominated films. I recommend Three Billboards outside of Ebbing, Missouri. And since Jacob isn't here, I'll speak for him and say that's what he recommends as well. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. That does it for another edition and another week of Our Take. I've been your host today. My name is Andrew Green. Thanks for tuning in. We should be back Monday, same time, same station. In the meantime, you have a fantastic and very safe weekend.